Okay. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to talk a little bit more about we are who God says we are, because we need to know that. Because there is a lot of power that comes with it, and we need to know it. So we're going to talk about being infused with His power. I like that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to just jump right in. I was looking up some things from Pastor Rick, because when the scripture kind of illumines in me, and I start looking it up in a lot of different sources. Let's start with 2 Corinthians. This isn't the one that was illumined. This is the one God said to start with until He says stop. Let's read it together. I'm in a New King James Version, but you can read in the King James. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And the key word is all things. Doesn't say all things have stayed the same. Some things have changed. The others will change by and by. Said all things have become new. All things. So stop talking about how you thought before Christ. Stop comparing your in Christ life with your pre-Christ life. They don't go together. It's like oil and water. They don't mix. And you certainly don't want to think that you were better off before Christ. But I shared with you when we started in this series that we're always being questioned by circumstances. And they always ask the same question. Circumstances ask, who are you? They don't recognize you as being in Christ. They want to put you to the test. So they're going to come with stuff to find out who you are. And how you respond will not only depend on the frequency of how often these things come, but how you go through them. You know, When I was young and first started playing, you know, sports in general, I started out with baseball and football. I mean, they just threw me out there. So we got to see what you're made of. Okay. And they didn't groove pitches so you can just easily hit it. No, they didn't even try and hit the bat. Some of the pitches they tried to hit you. Because they wanted to see what were you going to do? How are you going to respond? And they put you in different situations. When I got my first job, they put me in different situations because they wanted to see how I was going to respond. You know, and then every position I had, I was given a circumstance that I'd never faced before, and they want to see how's he going to handle it. And before Christ, I was handling it in my own strength, and then once I was in Christ, I learned that I didn't have to beat myself up thinking about it or figure it out. I'd just say, all right, Holy Ghost, what do we do here? What are we looking at? And he'd tell me every single time, he'd tell me exactly what I needed to do. But I had to know that he would do that. I would have had to have had a relationship with him where he speaks to me, I listen, and I ask questions, and he answers. I had to be in that position in order to do that. So see, I don't mind when contrary circumstances come. And some people get a little nervous when I say things like that, but I don't care. Because I don't have to face it. My Father has to face it, and we're going to find out some things tonight where you're not going to be afraid of circumstances anymore either. because of what we've been given by God through Christ. Mind you now, we're his ambassadors. We represent him. He wants the world to see him through us. So there has to be some things that cause us to stand out, that cause people to take notice, cause folks to want to be around us. There has to be some things that do that. And there is. Amen. I'm going to go right to it. If you want to know how we got to this point, go online, listen to the other three lessons. Dr. Cole, I told you this on Sunday, he said, personal philosophy determines public performance. You know, we in sports, you're only as good during game day as you are as in practice. I mean, that's just the way you practice is the way you're going to play. And this is telling us that what we adopt, our thought process, what we believe is how we're going to perform in public. What we believe is going to come up when the circumstances show up. Pastor Sarah used the toothpaste analogy. He said, why does toothpaste come out when the tube is squeezed? It comes out because that's what was put in it. If you put jelly in it, then jelly's going to come out. But if you want toothpaste to come out, guess what you have to put in? Toothpaste. If you want the word to come up in you anytime a circumstance shows up, guess what you have to put in you? The word. And it has, now think about it. If that toothpaste, boy, was this a contention between Deacon Phyllis and me, because to me it doesn't make any sense to squeeze the toothpaste from the top. You grab the bottom, you just squeeze it up. So I go and pick up the toothpaste. If my fingers are tube of toothpaste, all this part is flat. And everything down here, and then you're squeezing, and you have to work it up. And so then we figured, well, okay, we'll go to a pump. And then I just started getting my own toothpaste. That's why we stayed married 33 years. Marriage is not going to be brought down by a 349 tube of toothpaste. But those were our own personal philosophies. I believed it should be done one way. She believed it should be done another way, and we acted like it. And then we let God get in the mix of it, and, you know, he said, my word is stronger than a tube of toothpaste. But that's why knowing and understanding God becomes important. Because you had to go to God, God, okay, am I being pig-headed about this? And then you have to be comfortable with his answer. He said, yes. I didn't talk about her. I didn't say, well isn't she pig-headed? I said, no, what am I doing? What's my part in this? And he said to me, is it so terrible? You know, if you think it takes too much time, go in the bathroom 5 minutes earlier. Yeah. It's just simple. But see, because my personal philosophy was we believe in God to stay married, to be married minimally for 50 years. Okay, so that means there's some things that you're going to have to do, and there's some things you're going to have to do differently. And you do it because the marriage is worth it. Right. Living a life in Christ is worth it. Yeah. It's worth it. Yeah. See, look at Ephesians 6. This is where I want to get to. Very familiar passage. We're only looking at one verse. Verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, we read that as a statement, but it's not a statement, it's a command. Because if someone tells you to be strong, what does that mean? Why are they telling you to be strong? Because you're not acting like you're strong. But he didn't just say, be strong in your own strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the Lord's power of the Lord's might. That's what he's saying. I'm going to share some thoughts. If you're using the Sparkling Gems devotional, this was the May 20th entry. May 20th and 21st. It says, Paul gives us some very important insight into the kind of power God has made available to every believer. And this is important for you to understand because it describes the kind of power that God wants to operate through us. He wants to operate how? Through us. Okay, Ephesians 6:10 is a verse about the supernatural power of God. And it is made available for our fight with unseen demonic powers that come to war against us. He gave us power to go against the unseen. The word strong is taken from the word endunamo, which means, ready for this? A power whose purpose is to infuse a believer with an excessive dose of inward strength. We've been given an excessive dose of God's power that's been infused in us. I'm with Deacon Shirley on this one. Everybody should have jumped up and ran around on that one. Okay? Because when something is excessive, it means it's gone far beyond what's considered normal or even necessary. So that means if God wanted you to move this mic stand, he gave you power to move the new Tappan Zee Bridge. That's what all you need is the power to do this. He gave you the power to pick up a bridge and move it. That's how excessive he gave us an excessive dose of inward strength. It's power that goes beyond normal limits. It exceeds what's necessary. This is Holy Ghost. This isn't Pastor Rick. Amen. This is what he told me about what Pastor Rick said. It exceeds what's necessary. We don't have to be concerned with whether or not we have the strength to do what God has told us to do. We have more than enough to do what he's told us to do. But it's not just that he gave us that amount of strength, because it goes with being a new creature in Christ. But this particular type of power is so strong, it can withstand any attack and successfully oppose any force. That means there ain't nothing that can stop us. I mean, you think about that. And think about what's been stopping you. Think about what's been preventing you, what's been harassing you. Think about what you've been allowing because you thought you had to, or you were waiting on God to move. And he's already put in us everything we need to stop that thing in its tracks. Amen. To just stop it. And because the power we have to stop it is so excessive, we don't just stop it, We run over it. Because it's too much power to just stop on a dime. It takes a while to go. But it can successfully oppose any kind of force. Now, I looked up the word force. And it says it's physical power or strength possessed by a living being. Force drives out or propels against resistance. Force causes someone to do things against their will. Against their will. You're forced into doing something that you normally wouldn't do or you didn't want to do. Force. And God has put into our definition that we're a people that can withstand any attack by anything or anybody. Just by the power that he's put in us, in our inner man. The excessive amount of power that we have. We have to know that. Well, think about some of the things God has said about that. Didn't he say no weapon formed against you will prosper? Listen to how he puts it in the Voice translation. No instrument forged against you will be allowed to hurt you. No instrument formed against you will be allowed to hurt you. That means that when the enemy comes with his stuff, because you belong to God, the power that's in you will not allow that thing to hurt you. No weapon, not some weapons. He said, no instrument forged against you will be allowed to hurt you, and no voice raised to condemn you will successfully prosecute you. Then it says, it's that simple. This is how it will be for the servants of the eternal. I will vindicate them. He said, this is simple. This is simple. You're my child? Yes, I'll take care of you. What can get more? It can't get any simpler than that. Okay? Didn't Jesus say, I've given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions? He said, I love the Amplified Classics version. He says, in physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any means harm you. Now try and figure out how many ways you can be harmed. And he said, with the power I've given you, nothing will by any means harm you. Nothing. So why are we walking around as timid people? Why are we afraid to walk through neighborhoods? You know, you get in the car, it's a nice day, you want some fresh air to come in. You stop at a traffic light neighborhood, you see people walking, first thing you do is grab and you roll up the windows. My brother-in-law, he's in heaven now. He was a writer, and he used to write articles because he went through some stuff, and he said, you don't know how it feels when you cross the street, and as you pass by cars, you hear click, 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 because folks are just pushing their locks so that their doors lock. I mean, it's nothing shall any way harm you. Listen to the Passion Translation. Now you understand that I have imparted to you all my authority to trample over his kingdom. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority. But so that this is saying nothing will harm you, but you have to know you have the authority and you have to act like you know. How do you act like you know? You go where he tells you to go, and you do what he tells you to do. It's that simple. We don't have to do anything else. All we have to do is what he said. And he's given us an excessive amount of power to do what he said. What about Matthew 16? When he says, on this rock, on this revelation that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I am building my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So that means it does not matter what Satan tries. It doesn't matter what he does. He cannot prevail against us.
Amen.
He can't. We have to know that. We have to believe it. We have to act like it.
Amen.
And we do this only because we're a people who God has gifted with an excessive amount of his power and his might that he's infused us with. An excessive amount. Remember, he said, we're made in his image and we're made after his likeness. And we were made to dominate. He said, have dominion over everything. So we were made to dominate. So he had to give us everything that we would need to be the dominant force on this planet, in this world. And he gave it to us. The key is understanding that it's not a different type of power. It's the same power that God has. The same power that Jesus has, he gave to us. It's exactly the same. Well, how come we don't have the same results? Because they know, they meaning God and the Godhead, know and understand what they have and how to use it. And we don't yet. But we're learning. Well, how do you learn? You use what you know in every... Forget about... Well, I want to say forget about. Well, I really do. But let's just put to the side this whole little faith, large faith, great... Let's put this to the side. David knew who he was, and he knew how to operate in God's power. He knew it because he said, the same God that delivered me from the lion and from the bear is going to take out this uncircumcised Philistine. So it was settled for him. But he didn't know how to use conventional weapons. He knew how to use a sling. That's what he knew. And so that's what he went with. He operated with what he knew, and what he knew was enough to take out a lion, a bear, and a giant. When he took out the lion, he had confidence that, oh, this will work. When the bear showed up, he said, well, it worked against the lion, it'll work against the bear. And then Goliath shows up. Well, it worked against the lion, it worked against the bear, it's going to work against Goliath. He didn't say, whoa, I need a bigger slingshot. No. He said the same. He didn't look and said, let me see if I can get a bigger rock. No, what he knew was all he needed. He didn't understand that he had an excessive amount. But you think about it, he had whatever power it took for him to take out Goliath, he had more power available than that. So Goliath didn't have a chance when you think about it. But it's understanding again that it's the same power, just like the scripture says, but if that same power, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. It will make it alive. It will give it everything it needs to do whatever job it faces. But you have to know that and have to start operating in that. You think about it. All the power that it took to raise Christ from the dead dwells in us. All of it. That word power is taken from the Greek word kratos, K-R-A-T-O-S. And I like Pastor Rick's definition of that word. He refers to it as demonstrated power. It's not something that one merely adheres to and believes intellectually. This power is power that's demonstrative, it's demonstrative, eruptive, and tangible. It means it does something. And you can feel its presence if you know you got it and you know how to use it. In the natural, I knew how to make my presence felt. In the natural, I've learned how to make my presence felt in the supernatural. Really, you do the same thing. You use the power. Only before Christ, it was natural power. You know, when they were bothering my baby sister, and she didn't want me to know because she didn't want me to go up to her school and cause a scene. But big brothers always have a way of finding out. And so I went up to the school with my friend Ray. Ray was bigger than I am. He was 6'9". He's alive. He is 6'9". And at that time, he was about 265 pounds. He was that, but I was still the enforcer. And we went in Ray's car because my sister knew my car. So I told Ray, and we drive to the school, Queens Vocational, and we're just sitting on the side of the building where the children are coming out. And he said, "Well, Foots, what do you want to do?" I said, "Well, let's just watch and see what happens." And sure enough, I see my sister coming out of the school. And I see these three guys running and pulling at her clothes and trying to pinch her thighs and stuff. And I'm ready to bust out of the car. Now, this is my baby sister. Okay. But I didn't, you know, she went away and, you know, she started running and squeaking her, "Stop, leave me alone," you know. And they're laughing and they're smacking five and they're walking back down the street. I said, "Okay, Ray, just get out of the car and stand there. When I look at you, just go like this with your glasses." He said, "Okay." So he gets out and I'm walking up the street. And they walk past me, and when one got close, I just grabbed him by the neck and slammed him against the fence. And I said, "Who is that girl?" And he's like, what girl, mister? Who is that girl?" He's, "Oh, that's just Vita." I said, "No, it's not." And he's like, "It's not?" I said, "No, that's my baby sister." His whole countenance, he's like, "I'm dead." His friends were like, "Nobody's moving." I said, "Let me tell you something. You let everybody know. Anybody here, about anybody bothering my sister, I'm coming after you." I said, "And if I can't come," and I looked at Ray, and Ray went like this. Looked at him. And then I just let him go like that. We got in the car, and Ray said, "What do you want?" I said, "Just peel out," because he had a muscle car. And he went, and he's going on. All right. We used an excessive amount. A few weeks later, I was talking to my sister. I said, "So, Peter, how are things in school?" He said, "Well, I didn't want to tell you before because I know how you are. You've gone up and done something." He said, "But there were some guys bothering me, but all of a sudden it just stopped." And nobody just, I said, "Well, how do they treat you now?" I said, "Everybody's nice to me. Nobody bothers me anymore." I said, "Good, but I said, you know you can always come." She said, "No, it's okay. It's all right. It's fine." On her wedding day, I told her what I did. And she was like, "I was wondering what happened." I used an excessive amount of force because my presence had to be felt after I left. I couldn't stay at that school every day. what folks needed to know. When David took out Goliath, the Philistines knew. Okay. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were partying in the furnace, the king knew. Before, he was like, who's this God that can deliver you out of my hands? Well, you're about to find out, Nebi. Okay. That power was demonstrated. That was the thing. Paul, who didn't believe, had the power demonstrated on him on the road to Damascus. And what did he do? He became a believer. Changed the course of his entire life by that one show of power. But it always comes with some type of outward manifestation. That's, remember when they took the sick and just lined them all up so that the shadow passing by, they were healed just from the shadow. Why? Because there was an excessive amount of power there. And it was on display. When Jesus called out that demon from that man's son, there was an excessive amount of power there. And he was upset with his disciples because they didn't realize it. Because they weren't taking God seriously. They were treating being with Jesus like being in a clique. They were hearing what he said, but not listening to what he said. They weren't listening with the purpose to do. See, when you understand power, a fiery furnace becomes a spa. And you just have a great time. Because remember, they didn't go rushing out of the fire. They stayed in there, and the king had to call them out. Just like, remember we talked about Paul and Silas? When the earthquake came and opened up the prison, they didn't leave. They had been beaten and thrown in stocks, and now they're free, and they're not leaving. And then when they're taken out, and the jailer takes them to his home, feeds them, cleans them up, then they go back to the cell. And they come back to, well, they said, you can go now. No, we're not going. You tell them to come and escort us out. Okay. That's power on display. They came because who are these men? They will know that there's a difference. You know, there was power when Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. There was excessive power there. And it straightens everything right. So that lets us know that God has already given you the power to get things straightened out. Whatever's messy and crooked in your life, get it straightened out. You have the power. The power of God is real. It's excessive. It's real. And we've been given an excessive amount because the Bible tells us we're God's workmanship. And we've been created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And we can't do good works without the power to do them. And he's given us power in abundance. In abundance. Really, if we really grab hold of and understand the type of power that's always at work in us every moment of every single day, you're going to see some weird thing. What the world's going to consider weird things are going to start to happen. Amen. I'm not kidding. I'm serious. I expect it. You walk down the street, and all people are just going to feel better. Amen. Because you're there. They're just going to feel better. Yep. And they're going to know it. Amen. They're going to know it because they're going to feel something when you walk past them. They're going to feel something. Because we have an excessive amount of God's power infused in our spirits. And it was put there for a reason and for a purpose. And we need to start using it. to do that, we need to understand. It's like I shared with you those I Am scriptures on Sunday. We have to know we're a child of God and we're redeemed from the hand of the enemy and that we're forgiven and we're saved by grace and we're joint heirs with Christ, partakers of his divine promises. We need to know all of those things so that the power can flow. We need to take off the insulation so that the power gets exposed.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
We have to open our mouth and speak the words.
Amen.
So it goes out into the atmosphere.
Amen.
We need God. He's not going to do it. He's done his part.
Amen.
He's given us an excessive, I can't get over that, an excessive amount of his power.
Amen.
All the things that he wants us to do in our lifetime, he's given us more power than we need to do it.
Yes.
Because he wants to make sure it gets done, I guess. But I want you to remember, and I can't say it enough, we have been given an excessive amount of power. I mean, why do you think Samson was able to kill 1,000 with the jawbone of a donkey? That's what it was. That's why he said he killed more with his death than he killed when he was alive. He didn't understand how to use the power because he didn't have to die. God gave him what he asked for. He said, I want the strength so I can die with my captors. He didn't have to die with his captors. I want my strength. Give me my strength so I can kill all your enemies like I was supposed to be doing in the first place. He lived. You know, there's a lot of speculation as to why. You know, some say he wanted to get revenge. Some say he wanted to live blind. Hey, when you have that kind of power, your eyes can come back if you understand how to use it. But it's that same power, that caused demons to flee, we have. It's not a different type of power. It's not a different amount. Well, in a sense it is, because it's an excessive amount. It's more than we need. So if we have more than we need to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish, what's the excuse? That's why when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, there won't be anything we can say. And you know, just putting those Old Testaments, I'm going to say this, I'm going to quit, because I was thinking about this. Yes, it did all of those things in the lives of the early church and in the Old Testament saints. But it also can cure cancer, diabetes, dementia, and Alzheimer's.
Yes. Amen.
The same power.
Yes.
Can also take care of those things.
Yeah.
That power is known to cause debts to vanish.
Yes. Amen.
And prosperity to flourish.
Amen.
That same power, it's kept people for years. For years. We keep saying our jobs are not our source and this isn't, God is our source. Well, yeah, God is our source. But we have to act like it. We have to act like we have an excessive amount of his power.
Amen.
And learn how to direct it.
Yes.
You know, if the power is needed over there, what are you doing over here? Get over there. That's going to come as we spend time getting to know God, hearing clearly his voice. I don't know, everybody says, I know God, I hear his voice. Well, then I'll say it this way, getting to the point where we start obeying his voice. Okay. Since we hear his voice, let's start obeying his voice, and you will see manifestations of his power. When he gave the commission, he let us know that there'd be demonstrations of his power. You preach the word. I'll confirm the word with signs following. But you have to go through the motions. You have to speak. to the mountains. You have to cast out the devils. You have to lay hands on the sick. And that excessive power will do the rest. So really, to activate it is just motion. You do what God says, His power is on display. You don't do what He says, people think His power is dormant. Well, it's not dormant. It's on display. And it's not just on display on Sunday. Wherever you are, His power is on, should be on display in you. Because you have an excessive amount of God's power that's been infused into you. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You think we can give him some praise now?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We give you glory. We give you honor. We're understanding who we are. It's more than just a song. It's got to be a lifestyle. Thank you, Lord. Infusing us with an excessive amount of power. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Go out and be demonstrators of His power. Look for opportunities. Or I should say, recognize every instance as an opportunity for His power to be on display through you. I mean, not at liberty to share it now, but, you know, I just heard about a demonstration of God's power with working in the life of one of our members. You know, I mean, you have to keep believing. You have to keep believing. And you have to get excited about everything that happens. Well, I don't just get excited for excitement's sake. No, you're excited because you see God working. You know, if you needed help getting up, and you get to the point where you can push yourself up, you need to take a moment and give God thanks and give Him praise just for that. Just for that. If you couldn't take a deep breath without coughing, or you'd cough for 5 minutes, now you only cough for 4 minutes. Thank you, Lord. Getting stronger each day. You know, I mean, that's what it's all about, because that's His power on display, and we are recognizing it. And we're doing even more. When we cut out the excuses, because really there is none. Since we believe that the name of Jesus is above every name that's named, there is no excuse. Then we can't say, I couldn't do it because. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Either we believe or we don't. And since we believe, and especially since we believe that He's given us an excessive amount of His power, there's nothing that we can't accomplish. Amen. Nothing. Amen. So when you speak, let all that power, don't try and decide how much of it you need. Just use it. Yeah. Let God be the one. Let Him be the regulator. Yeah. I'm not going to decide I need, okay, God, this is a 20% power boost here. Okay, no. My job is to speak in faith. His job is to let the power come. So we work together. You lay your hands, His power heals. You speak the word, His power delivers. You tell the mountain to move, the mountain moves. I mean, that's just the way it is. But we have an excessive, he's given us an excessive amount of power. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to tell someone, remember you have an excessive amount of power.
And it's God's power.
The same power that raised Christ from the dead. So use it, because we're not going to lose it. Amen. Amen. So you can't lose the power. You can just choose not to use it and lose your life. Use the power and live. Amen. Praise the Lord. You better go home, because I'll keep you here. Mm.